All right. So, like I said last week, we're going to start a new series this week. We just finished up a series going through the life of Jesus. We just played some modified version of Simon Says, as you guys all saw. The purpose of the game was for you guys to listen to Kendra and the instructions that she had for you, and then to follow them when you were supposed to follow them, and then not follow them when you know when you're not supposed to. If any of you have been doing your reading, we were reading through Matthew. The ask was just one chapter a day. Did anybody even try at all to read Matthew? Oliver, you said
like 23.
23. There's 28 chapters. We went through the series. It was like a month long. If you guys read one chapter a day, you could get through the entire book almost. It's just something to encourage you guys to get into the Word. You know, if you read through Matthew, continue on. Read the rest of the gospel. See how they compare. It's a good thing. It would be a good thing for you. If you don't know where to read, if you don't know where to go, like just start in the gospel. Read through Matthew, read through Mark, read through Luke, read through John. You can compare, you can contrast. They're very similarly written. It's a story, so it's pretty easy to read. The book of Matthew and the life of Jesus, that was like a segue into what we're going to be doing, where I want us to go next. The objective of the last series was to kind of show you guys that Jesus understands us, that he came to earth like we did, that he was a human, that he lived life here. He understands, like, what it's like to be here, what it's like to have emotions like you guys have, what it's like to have the thoughts and everything that we deal with. He knows what it's like to endure pain, and he was willing to endure enormous amounts of pain for all of us so that we could have the opportunity to spend eternity with him. So as we're coming into the holiday season, like I prayed about. You know, Thanksgiving is coming. Christmas is coming. We're getting ready to start a new year. I don't know if that means a lot to you guys because school kind of overlaps the two. But as you come into a new year, how many people have heard about people making, like, New Year's resolutions? Do you know what a New Year's resolution is?
Technically, yes.
What is it? You say technically, yes. What is it? What is a New Year's resolution?
It's something that you plan to do better.
Yeah, better, different. A lot of people make a goal to, you know, lose some weight. Every year, I know groups of the church will make a goal to read through the whole Bible in a year. They'll start on day one and they'll try to, their goal will be to read all the way from Genesis to Revelation the whole year, reading every day. There's plans and everything for that. So as we're coming into a new year, everybody starts to make resolutions. I'm not asking you guys to make resolutions, but I do want to kind of plant a bug. I do want to encourage you guys through this series, and as we go into the next year, to just, just to light a fire. To get you guys, most of you have been here, we've known you guys for many years. You're in church every week. You're taking in knowledge. A handful of you, I don't know if any of you were at camp. None of them were at camp a few years ago. Was it two? With constipated Christians? No. None of you guys remember that? A constipated Christian? Most of you did, actually. A constipated Christian, the speaker was talking about it, what it means to be a constipated Christian. It's a funny term. Huh? Oh, I don't remember his name. Yeah, he was an email, he was a Mason. Thank you. So what it means to be a constipated Christian is for you guys to sit here week in and week out and to take in everything that me or Luke or Brian or people in this church are investing in you, to take in and listen to that and then just to do absolutely nothing with it. To listen every Sunday, hey, don't mess around. To listen every week, to take in all of this Bible knowledge and then not use it, not do anything with it, not share it with anybody else, not do anything with it, just to walk out those doors or out of the church on Sunday and then just it all is just over your head and gone. The purpose for everything that you guys get here is to apply it, to use it in some way, into some shape or form. Like if you want to be buff and a bodybuilder, how are you going to be a buff bodybuilder if you're not actually exercising, you know? So turn with me to John. Chapter 20, the end of the book. John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. verses 30 and 31. We're going to break these down. You want to read it? Well, hold on. 1 second. If you're there, pop a hand in the air. Or at least look at me. Make eye contact. Let me know.
Chapter 20, verse 30.
Yep. It's in the New Testament.
Yep.
If you're in the New Bible, if you guys got the church Bible, like throw out a page number. That always helps somebody else find it. Speeds up time.
In the 20? Old one, it's page 835.
If you have the newer one, it's 1446.
1446.
All right.
Autumn? Summer, read it. I tried so hard there. I was trying to will it out of you. Okay, go ahead.
And many other signs truly give Jesus the presence of his disciples, which are not written in his book.
Hold on. Stop there. Well, you're good. I'm going to have you read the other one. To read that again. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. What do you think he's talking about? Like signs, things. What? Go ahead, Gabe. What do you think he's talking about?
I think he's talking about the miracles he did.
Yes. And it's, what is it? It says, and many other signs Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. All right. Think about that. We talked about miracles.
I know.
Name some miracles that you guys know that Jesus performed. Go ahead. Give me one. Just one. Yep. Give me one. Go ahead.
Can you heal the blind man?
Yep.
Whenever that lady who had like the blood thing had faith and touched his
garment
and she was healed.
Yep. I'm coming to you, Lincoln. Hold on.
When he sent demons out of people's bodies.
Yep.
Water to wine.
Water to wine.
5,000.
Fed the 5,000. Yeah. Brought somebody back to life.
He has so many.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So think about that in perspective. All of those things that you guys just said, Jesus did, and yet there's things in that weren't even wrote in the Bible. That's pretty crazy. Like, for me, when I'm reading that passage, I'm like, wow. Like, he did miracles that we don't even know about, and the ones that we do know about are, like, mind-boggling anyways. Okay, next one. And believing that you might have life through his name. So it says, but these are written that you might, hold on, just read it because I wrote it down and I wrote it wrong. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that believing you might have life through his name. These are written, meaning things that you know about, the things that we know about, which we just talked about, so that we may believe. The things that we know about, the miracles that we know that he did, were wrote in the Bible so that we could believe, and be purposeful with the action so that we could have, it says, life through his name. In order to have life, you have to have meaning. You have to be able to do something. You have to have a purpose, you know? So throughout this series, we're going to look at events that occurred, in the Bible, past, in Jesus' life. And the goal will be to see how Jesus' followers in that time followed him during, his time here on earth. All the way from his earliest followers. And then we'll after we go through some of that, we'll be in the book of Acts for a little while, and we'll see how the church followed him. Okay, sorry. I got to put that down. All right, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. We finished our series off. It's just a couple books back.
Matthew
28. We just finished the last series, and we read these verses, but we're going to spend a little time on them today.
I'm here.
You're there, Gabe, is that what you said?
Yeah.
All right, just make eye contact or raise your hand.
What
verse? The last two.
Got it.
18 and 20, or 18 through 20 we're going to read, okay? I'm going to read it. All right, you want to read it? Go ahead, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I might stop you just like I did Summer. We're in 18.
Yeah, chapter. 18.
Okay.
It's verse 27.
No, chapter 28, verse 18.
Oh, I'm on the wrong one. I got it.
You're good.
And Jesus came to spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and, what is that word?
Lo, I am with you always.
I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. Okay. In verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What does that mean? Like, break it down. Like, what is he saying? He's to the disciples.
He's saying, like, what kind of, like, infinite power, everything.
All power is given unto me. He's,
he says he has power on both in heaven and on earth.
Yeah, but he's saying all power. Like, basically he's saying, I'm in charge. All power is given to me on heaven and in earth. So he's basically saying to his disciples, I am in charge, okay? When somebody's in charge, what are they trying, like, what are you supposed to do? Well, your parents are in charge of you. When they tell you to do something, what are you supposed to do?
Obey.
Obey.
Listen to them.
Follow the instructions. So the game we played, Kendra was telling you, like Simon says, you know, you're asked to do something, and then the objective is that you are to obey it, to do what you're being told. In the next verse, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Alright, he's telling them to go. Yeah, so what you guys are in church, we talked about this last week. What is this? What is this verse? Are you guys familiar with it? What is it referred to? The Great Commission? You know, it's at our church. We talk about it all the time. This is as Christians, followers, of Jesus Christ. This is what we're told to do. This is what God is telling us to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nation. So we're gonna dive into this passage a little bit more. This is Jesus asking his disciples to go and make disciples. All of you know that you don't have to have a special degree to go and make disciples. Just knowing about Jesus Christ and sharing that with other people, that is something that, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you can do. Have you ever heard, like, have any of you ever heard the analogy? I don't think it's an analogy. The phrase, like, if you go and I tell you something, and then you go and tell three people, and then those three people go and tell three people, three different people, and then those three people go, and it just keeps, and then eventually, after four or five times of sharing what that has been said to three different people, hundreds of people, lots of people will know. The same can be said. Like, the more that you share about Jesus, the more people you share it with, if they reciprocate what they're doing, what you're telling them, then the more people the gospel gets to. So, God, as followers of the Great Commission, is God asking followers, like, what to do. He's telling us to understand, like, the mission that he has for us. That's the mission he gave the disciples. So we're going to go all the way back to the beginning. We're going to go back to the beginning to kind of understand this a little bit more. Go to Deuteronomy. This is Jesus talking to the disciples in Matthew. We're going to go all the way back to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. No, not. We're going to read through verse 7, but we're not just reading 6 and 7.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. You got it?
No.
Autumn's there. She wants to read it to us, for us. Oliver's there. Shoot some eye contacts up. We're going to read 4 through 7, okay? This is Moses speaking here, all right? He's speaking to Israel. This is before Jesus, you know.
Wait, what number? Wait, what chapter?
Chapter 6, verses 4 through 7.
Chapter 6, 4 through 7.
All right. Go ahead, Autumn, read.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. All these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And that thou shalt teach him diligently unto the children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house,
And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest.
That's my co-op verse.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love thy Lord with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thine might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. This is Moses speaking to them, what God has told to him. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Okay, so if we are commanded to go, then we should be hiding these things in our heart, the things that we learn, the things that we're getting, and thou shalt teach them diligently. All times a day, when you're going to bed, there's not like a right time to be sharing. You should be doing it all the time. And obviously, you should be taking every opportunity you have to obey God, not just when you feel like it, not when it's convenient for you. So if you're commanded to go, you guys obviously cannot get in a car and drive. So what does that look like for you guys? Like, how do you guys share what you're being taught? Just give me some examples. Like, how can you guys share the gospel? You can't get in a car. You're not going to the mission field because you still live with your parents. So what are you doing?
Going to school.
Going to school. Okay. You got people that are around you. The easiest place for you guys to start sharing the gospel is the people that you come into contact with every single day. Why wouldn't we want people that we see the most in our lives to know about Jesus Christ?
Because then we can be with them.
That's why we would, yeah. Why wouldn't you not? You know, why wouldn't it, like, if you don't take an opportunity to share with somebody, a friend or somebody that you spend every day with, what you know about Jesus and what he did for us, how he died for us, then, like, what are you doing? These are people you spend every day with. You would think that you would want them to know what you know. They should already know and be able to tell by the way you live your life, by the way you act at school, by the way you act around your friends. People should already know that this person goes to church. They talk about going to church on Sunday. They talk about going to church on Wednesday. So, like, the door's already open. They kind of already have an idea. All right, this person, you know, they might be a little bit religious. I don't really know because sometimes they're still a little wonky. But they should already have a general idea of where you're at. So in terms of going, like, if we're commanded to go, it doesn't mean that you need to head to another town. It doesn't need you need to be a missionary. It means literally just, like, we're getting ready to have Thanksgiving. Sitting in the living room at Thanksgiving with a cousin. Maybe a friend comes over. Somebody in your family that you know is lost. Somebody in your family that you know doesn't know the gospel. Perfect opportunity to just share the gospel with them. Maybe you're at lunch and you guys are getting ready to eat. And you're like, hey, I just want to pray over lunch. Does anybody have anything that they would want me to pray about? Obviously, probably terrifying for some of you because lunch is probably chaotic. But opportunity to pray, to share, to let people know that you're religious or that you're praying or that you believe in God. Most of you or some of you or a lot of you or today in today's world, a lot of people have social media. So you don't want to say something to somebody's face. You don't want to go right to their face and share the gospel with them, but you can post on social media. You know, you can say something on social media that lets all the people that are following you know, like, hey, this person, you know, they believe in God. They are posting about it. You know, they are talking about it. They're sharing quotes. They're sharing Bible verses. That opens the door. They see that on your social media. They're like, they'll either leave or, hey, like, somebody, you never know what their situation is. They might come up to you and just be like, hey, you know, I was reading on your Insta the other day and I saw that you posted this, whatever. Can you, like, expound on that some more? The most important thing that we can do, is going and doing what we are commanded to do. We need to go. This next year, that's the whole purpose. That's my whole push for you guys is to take every opportunity that is given to you. Don't squander it. Don't, like, just take the opportunities as they're presented. Don't shut the door on something. Take the opportunity that's given to you. So then it says to make disciples. How do you guys make disciples? Like, how am I supposed to make disciples? I can't fulfill the Great Commission. How do I make a disciple? After you share the gospel with somebody, and say they get saved, like, do you just never talk to them again? No, you got to encourage them. Being a baby Christian is not easy when you have newfound faith. You know, it's your job as somebody that shares the gospel with somebody to help them, to guide them, to walk alongside of them, to invite them to church, to offer to read the Bible with them, offer to have them come over and have Bible study. Bring them to Friendsgiving today. Invite somebody to Friendsgiving today. It's an opportunity to play games and just be around like-minded people. It's literally just hanging out, eating food, who doesn't like eating food, and playing games with people who believe in Jesus just like you do. It's not hard. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be, through discipleship training to disciple somebody. You just have to be a follower of Jesus. And then when you are a follower of Jesus, the expectation is that you are to, you know, go make disciples. Okay, and then it says baptizing them. Well, we all know baptizing doesn't save us, but it's a public profession of faith. It is an act of obedience. It's one of the first acts of obedience when somebody begins to follow Jesus Christ. So it's a symbol of someone putting off their old self, the way they used to be. They're putting it off, and then they're rose again, a new person, a new creature in Christ. What do you got, Gabe?
It's like what we learned at camp.
Yeah, to be sent. It's a theme for the year. This is where we're going with this. Where the goal is to get you guys doing something, exercising. You guys got muscles. Work them out, man. Some of you guys have so much Bible knowledge that you just lock up here and you don't regurgitate it to other people, and you're just wasting it. You're literally wasting it. Think about having a college degree for something and just never using it. You know, why pay thousands of dollars to go to college? And you guys are getting this for free. Anyway, so it's a symbol of someone putting off their old self and then becoming a new creature in Christ. Imagine the impact that it would have on kids at school if, like, they were baptizing kids in at lunchtime or something. Like, new kids, there were so many kids getting saved at your school that you guys are just having baptisms right there. You know, all these kids were professing their faith to the whole school. Everybody, there'd be a huge movement. All the kids, it would be eye-opening to all kinds of kids, because you don't know what everybody's situation is. Kids seeing other kids getting baptized at lunch would be it'd be crazy. And then the next thing that the verse, instructs us to do is to teach. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. When you share the gospel with somebody and they decide to follow Jesus, it's the beginning of their relationship. It's the beginning of their walk with Christ. Okay? And how do I teach somebody, you know? How do I teach them? You're commanded to do so. So like I said earlier, if you tell three people and then they tell three people, it just goes on and on and on and so on. The first thing that they need to do in order for them to tell three other people about Jesus is they need to learn. You want to have a little bit of Bible knowledge. So how do you help somebody else have Bible knowledge? It's not a... I got it, Kim. What do you got? Is there another question?
It reminds me of what you... I remember the phrase that I heard from a book when you said that, like, if you have, like, your Bible knowledge but you never shared it with anybody. It reminds me of a book... Well, it reminds me of a phrase from Mr. Levitt's library. And it says that knowledge that isn't shared is unknown.
Yes, knowledge that isn't shared is unknown. That's very good. I like that. So, you shared the gospel with somebody. They're a baby Christian. You know, you yourself can help give them the resources that they need to grow. You know, we have Bibles here at church. If you share the gospel with a friend at school, they want to know Jesus Christ. What? Yeah, we're good. 18. I'm almost done. You can bring them a Bible. You can read verses with them. Encourage them to do memory verses. Encourage them to grow, to take first steps in their walk. The most important thing for all of us to know through this whole passage, though, about this is that no matter what, with our walk, as we're going, as we're teaching, as we're baptizing, that we're not alone. It says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." It's important for us to know that we're not alone. There's other people at church. There's other kids in the youth. There's our pastor. There's other people that are, you're good. There's other people that are investing and walking with us. There's other people in the church that are always here to help you So please, my encouragement to you, continue to read through the Gospels. If you haven't finished up in Matthew, continue to read through it. If you haven't even started, start. Exercise your faith. Don't let it just shrivel up. Be in the Bible and take opportunities when they present themselves. Don't just sit idly by and not doing anything. Knowledge, what did you say, Gabe? That is...
Knowledge that isn't shared is unknown.
Knowledge that isn't shared is unknown. You guys take in all this knowledge every week. Well, if you're not sharing it, then it's unknown. Those of you that have a relationship with God, this applies to you. Anybody that doesn't have a relationship with God, well, then you have to have a relationship in order to be able to share it with somebody else. So talk with me, talk with Luke, talk with somebody at the church about what it means to be saved. A classmate, some of you that are saved. And take these Sunday mornings, these times that we have in the youth on Sundays, and the opportunities that Luke has presented to you guys to give devotions on Wednesday nights. Take those opportunities to grow yourselves, to grow others. All right, let's pray.
Can I pray us out?
Yes, Gabe, you can pray us out, buddy. Go ahead.
Dear God, thank you for this day of church.